recording here. Okay, we're on Lamech Ches, someone off at the top of the page. Rabbi Yudin Boy, he had the final question. I said, got him with them together. So we're talking about you have the mahol around the outside perimeter, and then you went ahead and you built another wall inside that wall. Okay? So what's the rule? So he says, Omar, he answered his own question. He says, if there's three tefachim between the outer wall and the inner wall, then mutul havizara l'sham. You could plant in that area. Why? Because the inside wall is insignificant. In other words, the inside wall isn't going to be mevatel the heter of the outside wall, right? It's completely enclosed. It's divided off. In other words, I guess you could look at it. I'm not sure how to look at it. You could look at it, ignore the outside wall altogether, and having a wall always is matter you to plant on the outside of the wall, right? That's not really that big chiddush. The chiddush more is.
Which wall is considered the wall?
I'm saying if the inside wall is a wall, which it is, so then you can plant on the other side of the wall. No matter where you put that wall, as long as it's out. I mean, I don't think you need Dalam Amos, right? If you put the wall right up against the Gefanim, you could plant on the other side of the wall. So it doesn't affect anything, right? But if there is less than three tefachim, that's the chiddush. Then also lo havizar l'sham, that you can't plant there because the pshat is, since it's loved, it's like one wall. And so why can't you plant there?
Because the outer wall is the wall. So it's like you're planting up to the outer wall. You can't do that.
So the problem is because you're planting next to the wall. Right, that's the problem. Okay. Let's see, three.
Where did that three come from?
Loved. Let's see, number three. If the walls are at least three tefachim apart, the inner one now serves as the perimeter's border.
Right.
Now the area beyond it becomes permitted for foreign planting. If, however, the walls are separated by less than three tefachim, the inner wall is then viewed as a mere extension of the outer wall due to the principle of Lovet. The perimeter, therefore, extends as before until the outer wall, rendering all the enclosed space, including the area between the walls, prohibited for foreign planting. Okay, well, let's get to one thing straight over here. This is one front which I think maybe I didn't make clear. If you have a wall around a vineyard, it's supposed to be, what would we say, 12 amos, right? That was the share we had, 12 amos. Let's suppose you put it at 10 amos. What's the role of the inside of that perimeter? Completely usher. Any amount that is enclosed by an outer wall, which is less than 12 amos, is also the plan in there. This is something I didn't realize. If you have 12 amos, then you have a certain area which becomes much of the plant, right? You get 4 amos, and then you get the 8 amos, and then an additional 4 amos, or whatever it is. I don't know. I may not be saying it right exactly. That sounds like 16, whatever it is. It's 4, 6, what is it? 4, 4, and 6? Yeah, but then you know, that's 16. That's too much. It has to be 12 amos, right?
12
amos. 12 amos was the amount we said before, right?
4, 4.
What?
4, 4, and 4.
4, 4, and 4, right. 4. So you have a 4 area which you could plant. But if it's inside that area, you can't plant any of it because it's enclosed. So that's what's happening here. So if you have a wall which is within a wall, so then, if it's more than three tefachim, you can plant. Why? Why can you plant? Because
the inner wall. The inner wall is the inner wall.
The inner wall.
Outside of the wall.
You're talking about planting on the
outside. So I said it right before, right? So beyond that, we're talking about beyond the wall.
Right.
So between the outer wall and the inner wall, you can plant. But if the wall is within three tefachim of the outer wall, now you have a very thick wall, a very thick outer wall.
Right.
Well, now you've lost your share of 12 amos. So once you lose your share of 12 amos, then usher means it's usher to plant anywhere on the inside of that perimeter. All right, let's remember that. Usher lahavizar l'sham, right? Three is The perimeter extends before until the outer wall, rendering all of the enclosed space, including the area between the walls. But not only that area, all the enclosed space. Okay. That's going to be very new again in just a minute. Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, but Shem Rabbi Shimon Lachish, Chayisham Makim Shtem Esrei Amah. If in any place there is 12 amas, that is to say, let's suppose the circle, the walls that's surrounding the vineyard, is not a perfect circle. It's not exactly 12 amas at every point. It's only 12 amas at one point, but then as it curves around, it cuts in, and now it's making it, it's 11 amas, right? So that's the picture they have over here on my numbers. Let's see, which one is this? This one is 5, okay? If there was a place of 12 amas, nitel hamochol, then the strict law of the perimeter is removed from the entire area enclosed by the wall, including any portion that is less than 12 amas wide, right? This is the rule I was talking to you about before. So, in other words, right, number 6. Reb Shimon and Lakshis is teaching us when the Mishnah told us that a vineyard perimeter must be at least 12 amas wide in order for the planting of the foreign seed to be permitted there, it doesn't mean the perimeter must be 12 amas across the whole length. Rather, any part measuring 12 amas is sufficient to completely prevent the vineyard perimeter stringency from taking a place, taking effect. That's what I was just telling you before. The vineyards, the chumras hamachol, is that if you have an enclosed area around the perimeter that is less than 12, the whole inside becomes also the plant. That chumrah is taken off if at any point in the perimeter it's 12 amas wide. That's a very important rule. Okay.
If the wall's crooked.
Yes. If the wall's crooked, it takes away, right. Nitel hamachol. Okay, I said that. I'm Rav Chizkia. Uvavaj. He holds there has to be a 12 amos wide area that is 12 amos beyond the perimeter. It can't just be a mashahu that's 12 amos and the rest is in. It has to be, that's why we have the square over there in the second picture. And he disagrees, Ramana, he disagrees. Afilu meitzer v'haylach, even if it's narrowing, even quicker than the 12, even if it's net, in other words, the perimeter is narrowing within the 12 amos square, correct? So that's how you have the third picture. You see the line going into the square. So that's a machlok. So according to Mona, it doesn't have to be 12 by 12 at any point. According to Chizkia, it does. Okay? So now we've got that clear. Next. Now we're going to talk about mechitzas. A lot of these halachas are going to be familiar to you from Halach Shabbos. Mechitzas hakonim. What about sticks? Some einsham ben konal lachaveira shlosh tefachim can yikonat tzadi. If you don't have three tefachim between each stick, so then you have the rule of lovin, and each stick combines to make one wall, right? Famous rule. It always mentions kadei shikonat tzadi. I'm not sure what the significance of that is. Whether that's where gimel tefachim comes from. I mean, it's a halacha mishmi Sinai. I don't know what the yikonat tzadi adds to it. I'm not familiar with these halachas that well. Harezer kamachitza, it's a machitza, and therefore it's good. The gerush nifrats, if you have a wall that was breached, it means some of the wall has fallen down. An asher amas hariyo kapesach, so up until 10 amas, so that's looked at as a doorway, right? So if you have sticks standing, right, and there were then three tefachim of each other, and then someone rolls a bowling ball down the backyard and knocks down three of the sticks. So now you have nine tefachim have knocked down. As long as the space is not 10 amos, it's looked at as if, oh, that's a Pesach. It's a doorway, right? And someone rolls another bowling ball on the other side, that's also a Pesach. You could have a lot of doorways. It could be Avraham Avinu, your backyard is open in all four directions for any guests to come in, right? It doesn't make a difference. They're all Pesach. But it does make it. There is a difference, though, over here. First of all, Yosef Mekan Kenegan Apritza is Osir. If you have a wider than 10 amos, 10 amos or more is a way to say it. 10 amos or more is not going to be a Pesach. Effectively, what that means is what? That it's not, and therefore what? And therefore, that place, that it's a breach of the wall, and therefore what? What will it?
Isn't that a good wall?
It's a separation.
So it's not a separation that you could plant on the other side of the mechitza, right? So, right, you're trying to plant on the other side of this imaginary wall. So if it's a, if it's less than 10 amas, it's a doorway, so you can plant on the other side of that because the rest of the mechitza makes it look like it's all one, right? That's what we're talking about here. Right. Nifritzu prachas harbe. Now, if there are a lot of breaches, imha'imin rubal haparetz, add up all the standing and all the breaks, and which one is which number is larger. If your breaks are larger than your standing, then it's no good. Then, what's that going to mean? Then, it says, k'neged ha'pirtza is also. K'neged ha'pirtza, it's also. The part that's standing, as long as it's dal tfachim wide, that's enough. Any piece of board that's dal tfachim wide, it's enough to consider a wall that you can put, that you can plant on the other side. But k'neged ha'pirtza, anywhere where it's open, you cannot. In other words, even though it's less than 10 amos, and normally if it was less than 10 amos, we said it was a Pesach, but that's not going to be the case if the pirtza is yoser min ha'aymin. More has fallen down than it is standing up, then all the pirtzas become aser. Okay? He gives a summary over here, if you want to see the summary, in number 17, A, B, and C, but we've said it, it's pretty clear. The following brisa, going to the Gemara. Following brisa teaches about a certain breach partition. Okay, also pasan k'neged habein nayin. So what he did was, he had spaces in between the rows of vines, right? So what we've always mentioned this many times before. There are spaces between each vine, usually dalarama, sometimes more. So what he did was, he put up a mechitza k'neged the spaces. He didn't put up the mechitza k'neged the vines. He put up just k'neged the spaces. Now that's really.
So then that, the vines.
It's connected. I'm talking about it's outside. It's outside. Oh, you have the vines.
It's not in a line.
It's not in a line. No. It's not even with the vines. It's outside. Let's say it's four. Let's say it's three amas outside the vine line. Right. It's the vine, and he goes ahead and he's got it only connected the pirtzis. But the vines are out, are completely visible from the outside.
So it went over the wall, didn't go under the wall.
Right. Nothing's gone anywhere.
Where's it going? Where's it going?
Where's what going?
The vine.
The vine is just stationary. Stationary. Here's a vine, here's a vine, here's a wall. You look from the outside, you see the vine, and you see a wall. But the wall is only connected to pirtza. It's a very shvach. This is a shvach of mechitza. It's shvach because that's not the way. The main purpose of the wall is to divide between the vine and the outside plant. Here you've gone ahead and created a situation where you've got wall, a connected space. So there's going to be a weakness in this. It's going to manifest itself in a special way. What does it say? Yesh ba'aymid arba, but the standing section has four tfachim. Ba'aymid rabba ha'parts, and there's more standing wall than there is broken down wall, right? So you've got a lot of wall, but it's only k'neged the spacing. So what's the rule? K'neged ha'aymid mutter. K'neged the wall that's standing, you can plant outside of that. But k'neged ha'pirtza is also. This is going to be a chumra. Why? Because like we just said, normally if it's less than 10 amas, then it has a halacha like a Pesach. And it should have been mutter to plant k'neged the pirtza. But over here, because the wall was situated, so it's only k'neged the space, so we have it's a weakness in this situation that creates an isser that you can't plant k'neged the pirtza. Okay?
If you planted k'neged a pirtza, you'd be planting between between the vines?
No, outside of the wall. Outside of the partition. The partition is creating a barrier around the vineyard. Around the vineyard.
No. Does it matter if the wall is one contiguous and the space is open?
Space.
Yeah, but the space...
not opposite the vines itself.
I understand.
So you can't.
So where are you planting?
You're planting connected to the wall.
But connected to the wall means...
To the right or to the left.
Between the vines.
Between the vines, exactly.
What do you mean between the vines?
That's where you're planting outside.
You mean between the vine and the other plant that you're planting, there's a wall. That's what he means.
And you're planting...
There's a vine, there's a wall. Right? Let me say it again. There's a space, there's a wall, and there's a plant.
Right?
Right? Move over for Tvachim, you see the vine. You can't go outside the imaginary wall perimeter and plant something there because it's connected up here.
Behind the wall.
Correct.
Is there a difference whether that wall once was contiguous and then broken down or built originally?
We're going to talk about a nicer difference, I don't think. I mean, you're asking if for some reason you built a whole wall correctly and then all the connected vines fell down.
No, or parts of the wall fell down over time. No,
I don't believe that if like one or two vines have fell connected the vine, that it's a problem. I think that this is only if you set it up originally so that it is all connected the spacing and not connected the vine. I'm not sure what he was thinking. He probably was thinking like this, the air and the wind will blow by the plant better. I don't know what he's thinking. I'm not sure. 20. So just to read it in 20, just to make sure we have it right. Usually if a wall's standing segments are collectively wider than its breaches, it's a single continuous partition. So you can plant even next to the breach. In this case, it's halachically weaker. That's the main term to keep in mind here. Because all the boards are positioned only opposite the spaces between the vines. So therefore, it is not a single partition. It is single, solitary boards separated by empty gaps. That's the way to view it. Planting is thus forbidden next to the gaps. Okay. Very good.
How many
of
those vines can you not plant? Is it
12? No, it's not enclosed. If you're treating it as single solitary, you're asking, is it have a halacha like b'chol hakarim?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. In other words, if you're being machmir to say this is, I don't think so. I think it would be Dalanamas.
Dalanamas
outside the Kerem.
Outside the wall.
Outside the Kerem. Yeah. Let me look into that. I have to look into that. I don't know that. I don't know the rule so well. Okay, let's go to Amud Beis. Okay, we're a little bit behind here. Also, Pasuk can I get up to Agfanim? So if you made a partition of boards that are only opposite the vines, they bind with our ball, and each standing section does not have four tefachim. This is a question whether we're actually gurus this. But how par it's rabal ha'imid, you have more pirtsa than imid, then keneged ha'imid mutter, keneged ha'pirtsa is osur, obviously because the pirtsa is so shvach. Now here there's, I think, if you take a look at variant A, because it says, it should say yesh ba'imid arba. It shouldn't say ein ba'imid arba. Okay, because it's very schwer to say that you don't have four tefachim in the wall should all of a sudden appear, make itself appear. Why would that be a good machitza? So now we've been saying you have to have four tefachim. Why would it all of a sudden change?
Because he says that the chashivah is that it's opposite the vine.
Yeah, but it's very schwer to say that. So the Gra doesn't like that, and he erases it. See variant A for more about that. Anyway, let's keep going. Reb Shimon ben Lakish b'Shem Reb Yehuda ben Chanina. No, it's our bar kana bar b'as of yeshu b'karen. Here he's saying a big kula. You're going ahead. You have a big vineyard, And you're going to make like a regular, like, you know, backyard erev, right? So you're sticking a pole in each corner of the vineyard, and then you're running a wire around the entire perimeter, right? Kasher gemi lamala, he has a reed across the top of the poles. Matzel mishum peya, it saves the peya here means that it has a tzuras ha-pesach braid. It's translated as braid. And therefore, the reed forms a legally valid partition. So the idea here is that this already is different than just having a wall. This is a tzuras ha-pesach. Tzuras ha-pesach has a maila, according to Rish Lakish, that it could even go beyond 10 amas. That's his kula. Even when the poles are more than 10 amas apart, he says, except by Shabbos, Rish Lakish just mask him that it won't be good. That's what it says over here. Although a tzuras ha-pesach wider than 10 amas is invalid with respect to the Sabbath, he will say it's fit for Klai HaKeri. That's Rish Lakish's shita. Rabbi Yonah argues, he says, no. Kimechitzas Shabbos, kimechitzas Klayim. There's no distinction. It can't be a Tzuras HaPasach is no good more than 10 Amos by Shabbos. It's no good more than 10 Amos by Klayim too. It has to always be less than 10 Amos. On Rabbi Yekinah, Maisa Shalach Rabbi Shulman, Karchav, Esau Rabbi Yekinah, Manuri, Lin Nag Ninar. There was a story, Rabbi Shulman Karchav went to Rabbi Yekinah, Manuri, to this place called Nag Ninar, and some, the footnotes say that he was actually going to study Hilchas Klayim by Rabbi Yekinah. Very interesting. So Rabbi Yekinah, Manuri, was a place to go to study Klayim. People went to go to study Hilchas Klayim, like we're doing now. Only you didn't go to Rabbi Yekinah Manuri, we just stayed here in Baltimore, right?
We did a field trip.
We didn't have to do a field trip. Anyway, but you're right, maybe we should go to Nag Ninar and see where that is. Herohu saw an ox, he showed him one field. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha showed a field to him. Ubeis Kavirto Haisa. It was Nikris, it was called Beis Kavirto, just a name. Haisham Pitzis yesterday, there were breaks more than 10 amas. He would take, Rabbi Yekinah Manuri, would take pieces of wool and seal the breaches, tapered poles and seal the breaches. He was seeing breaches which were more than 10 amos, and he would seal the breaches everywhere he would find them until all the breaches were closed, and therefore it was good. And Amar, so Rabbi Yekinah Manuri said, Kazeh came mechitzas Shabbos. That this is just like the rule of Shabbos, just like this is less than 10 amos is good. So too for Shabbos as well. Seems to be like Rabbi Yonah. I'm Rabbi Zeira, my Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Even though Rabbi Shimon Lakish said that 10 Amos is no good, is good for more than 10 Amos, I should say it right. Even though Rabbi Lakish said it's more than 10 Amos, a Tzuras HaPasach is good for Klayim, Linyan Shabbos, he's Maidish, Ein HaPei HaMali, Yes Me'aser, that it won't say for all the Shabbos unless it's 10 Amos wide. There's a Shiloh over here because there's a Gemara, let's see over here. Does he have it? Is it? We haven't up to it yet. A little bit more. Amar Abhagi, Masnisa Amar came. The Mishnah says so. There's a Mishnah that says like this, that if we're traveling all around, right, and we rest, in it, we have like right, we have a whole caravan of people, and we rest for Shabbos. So we want to make it so that we can carry inside the camp. So what do? The Mishnah says that you circle with three wires. Each wire will be three tefachim, right? Three tefachim, whatever it is. Make it so you have a 10 tefach, a rope wall. That's basically what you're doing. You're creating a rope wall. So it's something you could do in a pinch, right? So that's the way it suggests making a mechitza on Shabbos. So they're making a diak. They're going to read it in a second. So the diak is very simple. If Tzuras HaPesach works for even more than 10 amos by Shabbos, so then, why did it say you had to go through that tircha of making three wires? Just make one wire and make a tzuras ha-pesach across the top, and it'll be good for the whole camp, right? That's the question. It says, you only need one rope. What do you have to go create three ropes for? So you see from the Mishnah exactly that halacha. Okay. So now the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yoshia, boy, hadar peya ma'atamers." So this Tzuras HaPesach, what is it? Is it melmalon minatzad? Is it on top of the poles or at the side of the poles? Normally, you know, if you've ever read any Hilchas Erevin book, you'll know that there's a whole whole Torah about how the wire has to go right over the top of the pole. If it goes on the side, that's min hatzad, and it's pasul, it's no good. But over here, they're asking, the source of pasuk over here, is it good above or is it good even at the side? In Tamil Mamalan, if you say he's talking about the top of the poles, and still he disqualifies it for Hilchos Shabbos because it's greater than 10 Amos, then Hakosha came in Atzad, and certainly if it would be at the side, it would be no good for Shabbos. 25. The Kosha came is because when the braid is on top of the poles, this structure bears a greater resemblance to a door frame than when its braid is at the side, because the crossbar of a door frame is usually on top of the doorpost. So, one on the side is certainly invalid. That's the kosher case. In Tamim and outside, but if you say that he's referring to the side, that's where it's no good if it's, I guess, more than 10 amos. Yeah. No, but if it was on top, then maybe he would allow it for Shabbos as well, even if it was wider than 10 amos. Yeah, so that's what it says. So the Gemara is going to go through a little bit more about this. We'll do that tomorrow. There was one piece here I wanted to cover with you. The Gemara over here, the footnote in 21, it says in the second paragraph, the Gemara has proved from this Mishnah Surah Sapasach wider than 10 amos is of no use on Shabbos. However, another mission, Erevin, says explicitly that this is not so. At Surah Sapasach can be wider than 10 amos, even for Shabbos. See Bavli 11a over there in Erevin. Some saw the contradiction as referring only to a site of human habitation. So you have a chotzer or a mavli. That's when we say at Surah Sapasach is good even more than 10 amos. But in contrast to our Mishnah over here, we're dealing with a camp, which is set up in an isolated area. It's not otherwise inhabited by people. So in that case, you can't have a source of Pesach more than 10 amos. Asig is also talking about fields and vineyards. So that might be very important, whether a source of Pesach is actually good. I mean, all our source of Pesach are much more than 10 amos. I mean, we're going from telephone pole to telephone pole with 100 amos. You know? And it's a long distance. It must be because of this terrace, because it's a town, so it's an inhabited area. So therefore, it's good even more than 10 amos. But you have to be careful not to draw a wrong conclusion from our Gemara. That's why footnote 21 is very important. Okay, everybody say. Fine.